This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I thank you so much for joining me today. And as always, on Tuesdays, it is time for 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Here's how it works. If you have a question about guns, ammo, licensing, whatever your question is, now is the time to call in and get it answered. Toby is here. He'll take your calls at 844-500-4242. They do fill up fast, so try to get on now. And we also take text messages. I'm going to bring out the text computer in a minute here, and I'll read any of your messages. Toby, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me, Grace. I'm glad to do it.
Now, Toby, something I want to ask you about was this 12-hour standoff that happened over the weekend in Texas. There was a push by Democrats to quickly make this about gun control. How do you react when stories that might have other focuses always tend to come back to banning guns?
It gets tiring, and it's pretty obvious from this situation that didn't even involve guns. The guy came in and said he had explosives, but that, you know, they don't want to let a good crisis go to waste, so they're going to use it to their advantage and try to, you know, restrict law-abiding, responsible gun owners in America from being able to buy the gun that they want to buy and arm themselves and defend their own families with the most efficient tool possible. So, you know, it just makes sense that it doesn't make sense to anybody else in any other area. Like, if every time a news story of a drunk driver wiping out a family on the road, if they led the news story with, "We got to do more about banning these automobiles and making it harder for responsible people to purchase the car of their choice because people are dying on the roads," you know, it would sound ridiculous to everybody listening. But because they have this emotional faux moral high ground that they think that they have, they can get people charged up over it. And fortunately, I believe it's falling on deaf ears, and nobody's buying it anymore, and they're kind of done. They've shot one too many over the bow, if you know what I mean. So they realize, no, actually, in the last 2 years, I think you guys have made an excellent argument for why I should arm myself and be responsibly armed and get some training on how to defend myself. So,
absolutely. And I think part of what you're talking about now, we're really seeing play out heading into these 2022 midterms, because this isn't a topic that a lot of candidates are choosing to run on. You know, they might talk about it once they're elected, but they don't seem to think it's a winning issue, Toby, at the polls.
No, I think any moderate on whichever side of the aisle they're on are running from the gun control side of the debate. And, you know, they're running from it. They're fleeing from it because, you know, you just do the math, 6 to 10 million new gun owners in the last year and a half is a lot of people. And not only those are the people that have actually chosen to buy guns, there's another whole umpteen million people who at least sympathize with the right to keep and bear arms. So I think they realize that it's a losing issue at this point.
Absolutely. All right, we already have a lot of people on the lines. Just one more reminder, if you want to call in, it's 844-500-4242. Let's start with John. You're first with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. Hey, Toby. Quick question. Toby, my daughter is a police officer, and she has a personal firearm, is a Glock personal firearm, and I also have a LTC. Is it possible for me to take her gun down to the range and, and fire it and, you know, just bring it back to her. Is there a problem with that?
Not at all. You can definitely do that. You can borrow a friend's gun and go shoot it if you want, or a family member's gun. That there's no issue with that whatsoever. And as you know, or maybe you don't know, but I'm sure a lot of the listeners know that the Glock is on the approved weapons roster, but because it doesn't meet the Attorney General's definition of a gun that can be sold in this state, that we can't go to a gun store and purchase a Glock. But say your daughter had one for personal use and she said, you know what, I'm thinking of upgrading, getting a different one. She could then turn and sell that gun on a private transfer to you. She's allowed to sell 4 guns per year. So if you, once you shoot it and you like it, if she says, hey, do you want to buy it, or, you know, whatever, that's perfectly legal to do, and then you could carry that gun, and there's no law that prohibits you from owning that gun. So, and you can always, you know, borrow a gun as long as you're not a prohibited person. So that's not a problem at all.
Awesome. Thank you, John, for the call. Good question. Let's go to Sam. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Sam.
Good afternoon. Great show. Grace, thank you very much. Toby, I have owned a property in Maine, and I was wondering about buying a gun. Is there anything I have to do if I buy a gun in Maine? And also, my cousin has a gun. He lives in Michigan. He has a couple that he wants to sell. He lives in Michigan, and I'm not expecting you to know anything about Michigan laws, but from my end, if he wanted to sell me one or two of his guns, what would be the requirements?
Yeah, so that's a great question. If you have property in Maine, you're a resident there, you know, even if you're not a full-time resident, but you have property and whatnot, and you have a residence, you can buy guns across state lines. Long guns, you don't even need to have property, but if it's a handgun specifically, you can buy a gun if you have property in another state or a residence in another state. So if you can go, you know, to a gun store in Maine and buy a gun that's not technically mass compliant and bring it back, as long as it doesn't violate the assault weapons ban or the magazine capacity. So just make sure you take the high cap mags out if you bring in a gun back. And if your you know, family member in Michigan wanted to sell you some guns, they would have to get shipped to an FFL in Massachusetts, and then they would be subject to the mass assault weapons ban or the approved weapons roster. So if it's not on the approved weapons roster, don't even bother shipping it back, because it's not gonna fly. You won't be able to transfer it. And so, unfortunately, that's the world we live in, where the Massachusetts government likes to deprive you of your civil rights and your civil liberties under the Second Amendment. And, you know, there's some lawsuits in the pipeline for that, but as of right now, it has to be on the list to do a transfer.
All right. Thank you for the call, Sam. Good answer, Toby. Let's go to Bill. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Grace. Hey, Toby. Hey, Toby, I have an LTC in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Two different licenses, obviously. But I have a high capacity unrestricted in Massachusetts. Is that carried over into New Hampshire?
Yeah, New Hampshire doesn't have a magazine capacity restriction. So up there, as long as you're not a prohibited person, they are a constitutional carry state. They do still issue some non-resident license to carries, which I find interesting as a constitutional carry state. But if you're licensed here and you're from Massachusetts, you can then carry a gun in New Hampshire and or Maine or Vermont, for that matter, because they're all constitutional carry states. And they don't have a magazine capacity restriction in New Hampshire, so you're good to go with whatever size magazine you want. You can buy them at the local gun store there, and just make sure you leave them there and don't bring them back to Mass.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Bill. Okay, everyone, so it is time for 2A Tuesdays. As I said, we're going to keep going with this, and if you want to get on the lines, we'll fill them up during this break. It's 844-500-4242. I'm about to run back, grab my computer, so I can read off a couple of these texts for Toby as well, but the good news is we always take the callers first. So get on the lines, and we are going to run through as many as we can until around 2:45. To make the best investment decisions, you need the best information. That's why you need to subscribe to the Liberty Through Wealth newsletter. Inside this newsletter, you'll discover 10 inexpensive small cap stocks that offer outstanding profit potential and dividend payouts. Alex Green has found under the radar stocks, and he believes they should be the cornerstone of your retirement in the coming years. You can also learn which small caps can deliver high-yield income payouts that more than rival expensive blue-chip stocks. A team of experts headed by Alexander Green will show you exactly how to grow and protect what you have, as well as manage risk. Stay ahead of Biden's inflation and keep your wealth out of the hands of the tax man. Don't we all want that? The newsletter will help you achieve and maintain total financial independence, which sounds great. So to subscribe and learn more, go to onestockretirement.com. Like we said, if you want to make the best investment, you need the best information. That's onestockretirement.com. 844-500-4242. Call in with your question for Toby Leary. We will take all of the calls when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Full lines on 2A Tuesday, just the way I like it. All right, Toby Leary, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Okay, let's start from the top. Kent, you're first with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Kent.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call. To go back to the New Hampshire question, I have restrictions in Massachusetts to target and hunting. And just wondering if I go up to New Hampshire on vacation or anything else, can you carry or conceal carry in New Hampshire?
Yes. As far as I know, I don't think your restrictions in Mass carry over. I think the only criteria is that you're not a prohibited person. So if you're legally able to have a gun in your state, then I believe, and don't quote me on this, I'm not a lawyer, but then I believe you can carry concealed in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. Any constitutional carry state, which we're up to 22 right now in the country with another 4 or 5 on the docket, to become constitutional carry states, which, frankly, it should just be all 50 states. It's like having a driver's license when you can't, like you'd have to stop at the Mass border and take a bus to Rhode Island, through Rhode Island. It doesn't make sense. But the point is, as long as you're not a prohibited person, then you can carry a gun concealed in any constitutional carry state. They do still issue a non-resident license to carry, I believe. And I'm not sure why that is, but they do if you're interested in getting it. So,
all right. Thank you for the call, Kent. Let's go to John. You're next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Toby. Hello.
How you doing, John? Hi.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear anything back. I'm sorry. So I just heard you a couple callers back saying that if you have a property out of state in one of the constitutional carry states that you can buy a gun there, even if it's not, say, a vacation home, if it's just a rental property and you own it, is that something that you can then also buy a gun without a license?
I don't know what the actual criteria is for each state, but I do know that the federal law is that you can buy guns in whatever state you have a residence in. So there's people like, say, Florida, for instance, that they're snowbirds. They go down to Florida in the winter and they live here in Massachusetts in the summer, the nice months. And when they go down to Florida, they can then purchase a firearm in Florida, not just a long gun, but they can buy a handgun as well. And then when they come back in the summer, they sometimes bring the gun. As long as it doesn't violate the assault weapons ban and the high-capacity magazine ban, then they can take it back with them to the state. So that is a thing, and it happens all the time. People buy guns all the time that way, and that's how a lot of the off-list guns end up in Massachusetts, if you will. So they're not doing anything wrong. The federal government allows for it to be done. But, me, I don't own any property in New Hampshire, so I can't go there next weekend and buy an off-list handgun I can't buy a handgun in New Hampshire because I'm not a resident. So, yeah, as long as you have residence, I don't know if it's a rental property, if that qualifies or not, but you'd have to check with a lawyer on that. But there's definitely, as long as you have a residence in another state, you can purchase a gun in that state or a handgun in that state.
All right, perfect. Thank you, John. Let's go to Norm. You're next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Norm.
Hey, Toby. I think I'm going to get the Bonehead of the Year award, but I live in New Hampshire. I got a Mass LTC out of state. I got a Rhode Island concealed carry, and I lost one of my firearms. It was a 1911 380. I have three vehicles. I have three different homes. I have a couple storage areas. I've been hoping that would turn up. I'm under no responsibility to report it, as I understand it, in New Hampshire. There's not a law that says you actually have to report it. So I'm kind of torn. I know in Massachusetts, you know, for losing a firearm, you could potentially be, you know, deemed an unsuitable person. What would you advise?
If you're under no... I mean, that's a tough one because, frankly, if I lost a gun, I'd be feeling the heat to report it because, you know, if that gun turns up in a crime or something like that, I would, you know, want, you know, them to know that it was lost or stolen from me. I know I'm not familiar with New Hampshire law that says you don't have to report it. And I just also don't know if there's a federal law that would make it so you'd have to report it or not. But I don't think you have to for our state. I mean, it's not necessarily unless you lost it in Massachusetts, then you probably would have to report it. So, that's on you and your conscience and your, you know, maybe your lawyer in this case. Because I wouldn't want a gun that, you know, was my responsibility floating around out there. Unfortunately, it does happen, every once in a while you hear stuff like that, but I would say just, you know, do the right thing and maybe consult with a lawyer first, but about the best way to go about it. I don't know that they'll automatically revoke your license or not in this state, or if they'll even know, but that's a tough one because, you know, you don't want them falling into the wrong hands, so... I hope it turns up for you, and I hope you find it, but I would recommend just getting, you know, some legal counsel on that to advise you. My own conscience is my recommendation. I would probably want to report it, but I would get some legal advice on that up in New Hampshire.
All right, good question, good answer from Toby. Let's go one more here before we go to break. Let's go to Michael. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go ahead, Michael.
Toby, I'm going to Arizona in May. How do I get, can I carry my gun there? And if I can, can I check it into my check-in luggage on the plane, unloaded and all taken apart?
You don't have to take the gun apart. You just have to have it unloaded in a lockable case. And I just flew to Texas last week, and basically you just declare the gun when you go to check in your bag, and they have you fill out a firearm card, and they put it in the box with the gun. You lock the box. You keep the key. Don't use a TSA lock. You want to use your own locking device, like a padlock or a key lock. And then you keep the key, and then it ships down. And you just can't have the ammo in with the gun. And I don't know if Arizona is a constitutional carry state. I can look that up over the break, though, and I'll let you guys know when we come back.
Perfect. And I'm going to hold off on the rest of the callers till after we come back, and I'm going to give everyone a chance to get on the line. The number is 844-500-4242. If you're just tuning in, this is 2A Tuesdays. It's time where you can call in and you can ask Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks any questions you might have about guns, about ammo, about a type of gun, a brand of gun, whether Toby's familiar with a certain gun. You can ask him about the shooting range or licenses or whatever it is, crossing state lines. This is the time to ask Toby and get his take on it. We will return with more of your questions. One more time, nice and slow. It's 844-500-4242. We'll be back with more 2A Tuesdays. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. You know what time it is. It's time for 2A Tuesdays, and we have a lot of people on the lines. We still have a few open. If you've been waiting to get on, it's 844-500-4242. We do have a few questions here on the text line. Non-residents of New Hampshire do need a license in New Hampshire if you're carrying concealed and loaded. That was from one. Hi, Grace and Toby. Please ask Toby to clarify, can a relative from an out-of-state transfer a Glock 19 Gen 4 to me in Mass? I thought you said this in response to an earlier question. Thanks.
Yes, I will get to that. And no, you cannot get a Glock 19 transferred in, unfortunately, from a relative out of state and have it be transferred unless it's a pre 2018, you know, gun. I'm sorry, 2008. No, what is it? 98. Excuse me. 98 is going back four attorney generals here. But yeah, it has to be a Gen 2 or in some cases a Gen 2.5 or older, and in order for it to get a Glock transferred in. So a Gen 4 would not qualify for that. And getting back to John's question, Arizona is a constitutional carry state, so it looks like as long as you're licensed to carry in your own state, you can carry concealed in the state of Arizona. There is some like places you can and can't carry, so I would just recommend, John, you look into that law before you head to the state and you know, make sure you're not violating the law in any way, shape, or form on that.
All right, let's get to the callers. Paul, you're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks on 2A Tuesday. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello, Toby. Great show.
Thank you.
I'm from New Hampshire. My grandson wants me to come down to Massachusetts and shoot trap with him at his club. What am I involved with to bring my shotgun down there?
Yeah, like you can bring a gun to the state if you're hunting or if you're going to a sanctioned shooting match or event. I don't know if that would qualify if you just go into the local gun club with your nephew, so you might need to just borrow a gun when you get there, or borrow one of your nephew's guns. I honestly don't know. I assume, and I'm really going out on a limb here, so don't treat this as the gospel truth, but I assume if you're going to a regularly scheduled, you know, trap or skeet event at a licensed facility, that you could probably bring your own gun. But I know, like, when we host classes here at Cape Gunworks, and someone wants to come down from New Hampshire, we usually rent them a gun because it's not a quote-unquote sanctioned event. So it's just one of our regular classes, so they don't bring their guns down. I know if you're buying a hunting license or you're actively hunting or going to a sanctioned match, then you can bring your own firearm to the state for that reason. But that's really the only reasons you can bring your guns here, unfortunately. It's kind of ridiculous. But so I would just borrow a gun to be on the safe side, or you know, one of the lawyers, maybe Keith Langer or Jason Guida, could help you with that as well. I'm pretty sure, I'm like 99% sure that you probably couldn't bring it just to go trap and skeet shooting with your nephew, unfortunately. Welcome to Massachusetts.
All righty, thank you for the call, Paul. Let's go to Don. You're next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Don.
Hi, Toby. Thanks for taking my call. I've been trying to get in there a few times to get something on information I wanted. You mentioned the non-residents. Okay, I'm a legal Floridian now. I used to be up on the North Shore, but I still go up there 4 months a year. You mentioned earlier about the non-residents. Now, I'd stopped by a state police barracks up there, and I brought that to their attention, and either they were just not wanting to talk to me about it. They said they never heard of such a thing because I'd already been told about that before. since I have a concealed carry in Florida, I wanted to be able to get this non-residence up there.
Yep.
And they're telling me they don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. And unfortunately, the state police should know better, but I'm not surprised they gave you some bad advice. But you absolutely can get a non-resident license to carry. You do have to take the required course that's in Massachusetts, and then you go to apply in person in Chelsea at the Department of Public Safety with your certificate that you took the approved course. So any of the licensed instructors in Massachusetts can give you that class. It's a minimum of a four-hour class that's required, and then they'll give you a certificate at the end of the class, and then you can take that down to the Department of Public Safety in Chelsea and appear in person and present it and then apply. So they're the ones that issue the non-resident license to carry. Unfortunately, the non-resident license to carry in Massachusetts only allows you to carry a gun in Massachusetts. It doesn't allow you to buy a gun. It doesn't allow you to buy ammunition at a local gun store, which is absolutely ridiculous. But you can't, so you're going to have to bring your own gun and ammo once you get licensed. So, yeah, but go to the Department of Public Safety. And I believe it's on the mass.gov website as well, how to apply for a non-resident license to carry.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Don. Let's go to Roger. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Roger.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Want to add a little levity to this, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
So my uncle passed away after a life of crime in jail in 2008. He had sent me a letter before he passed away about a guy who wanted to buy his guns. And in the letter, my uncle thinks that law enforcement is stupid. So in the letter, he said, "I have a guy that's going to come and talk to you about my watches. Wink, wink. Let him know that none of them were used in any crimes. They're all clean."
Oh, my God.
Well, needless to say, about 3 days after I got the letter, there's the knock at the door and the guys in the suits. So, I just thought I'd add a little levity to it because, the inmates always think that they have one up over law enforcement. It's pretty entertaining. If you spend 28 years of the last 28 years of your life in jail, and that's what you're worried about.
I know. Anyway. So the watches were confiscated. Roger, thanks for the call. Very good. Let's go to Tim. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Grace, Toby. Hey, I got a question, Toby. My brother passed away several months ago, and he owned a few long guns. I was wondering, in order for me to take possession of them for either to keep or to sell, what type of paperwork would I need, if anything?
Yeah, so did it gets a little convoluted with wills and trusts and probate and all that.
It's not covered under any of that.
Yeah. So there's one way of doing it, and that is if he was is he licensed in Massachusetts? Was he licensed in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So if he possessed a license and a PIN number in Massachusetts, then you can do it right through the EFA-10 portal. You got to put his information in, your information in, and the gun information in, and they can be transferred to you that way. If he doesn't have all that information at the disposal, if you don't have all that information at your disposal, then you can take it to a local gun store. They can log it in their books, and then they can transfer it over. And but if they're not a mass compliant gun, that's where the sticky wicket is. So I would just recommend it if you have his PIN number and his license to carry number, then put that in and do it right through the EFA-10 portal.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Awesome. Yep. Very good. All right, let's go to Carlos. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Carlos.
How are you? How are you doing, Toby?
Very good, thanks.
Hello? Oh, okay. Yep. My issue is that I got myself a felony before I got back in military. I was out. Got myself a felony with drugs, and then I went back in, and I just retired with 25 years in the military. Now, can I get a handgun?
So
I mean, what I did was wrong. you know, but.
Yeah, I don't believe you can. I'm not sure exactly what, you know, the felony was. Felonies basically prohibit you from owning guns, and so I doubt it. You could always check with a lawyer and ask if there's something that they can do. But if you have a felony on your record, chances are you're probably not getting your rights restored, unfortunately. So look at alternative, you know, forms of protection, and just being a military guy, you already probably have a good mindset on refusing to be a victim. So, but unfortunately, you're probably disqualified from ever owning a handgun. So it's the way it goes, unfortunately.
Sorry about that, Carlos. Let's go to Carl. You're last on 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Carl.
Hello, Grayson. Hello, Toby. I just had a quick comment about all the talk about Massachusetts out-of-state permits. I was a Massachusetts resident, had a license to carry in Massachusetts, called New Hampshire to get a out-of-state permit for them. They were funny. They said, oh, if you have a Massachusetts permit, just give us your name and address and we'll send it to you because we can't ask any questions. Massachusetts didn't already make you do. Then I moved up to New Hampshire, asked him for a permit, even though now it's constitutional carry, and they said no, but I said, I travel a lot, and I need a permit from my home state sometimes. So they gave me a permit from the state, from the police chief, gave me a permit. It looks like a receipt that you get at a diner, because it's just handwritten. But now I have an appointment in Chelsea to get my Massachusetts permit converted to an out-of-state permit, and I was calling basically you said I need to have, since I already have an active Massachusetts permit that is no longer really valid because I moved to New Hampshire.
Right.
What paperwork do I need to bring with me to Chelsea? Do you know?
I'd bring them the old one and bring them the. I think you could probably renew it as a non-resident license to carry. I don't think they'll make you take the class over and everything else, but then again, be prepared for anything in this state. But you're right about New Hampshire. It's an optional thing. They don't have to issue you a permit anymore. It's optional. So some people who travel out and want, like Arizona, if you have a concealed carry license in your state, one of the things I read about Arizona was that they'll honor it in that state. You can then carry a gun, you know, concealed. It's not an issue. So some people ask for it anyway, even though New Hampshire is a constitutional carry state. But I would bring, if you still have your original certificate that you got with your class that you took when you applied for your license in Massachusetts, I would bring that with you as well and try to do it as a renewal, even though it's, you know, a resident license going to be converted over to a non-resident. But you might want to give them a quick call at the Department of Public Safety or the Mass Firearms, you know, to confirm what you need to bring. But
yeah, and if there's a piece of paperwork, if there's a piece of paperwork that you're considering bringing, just bring it because you'd rather have it than not have it. All right, Toby Leary, you are from Cape Gunworks. You come on here every Tuesday, but where can people find you and listen to you?
Yeah, thank you, Grace. We're at capegunworks.com. You can see all kinds of good stuff on our website, classes coming up, stuff to buy. We have guns and ammo and everything else there. And we also are in person, so if you want to come down and make the drive, we'd love to see you and take a class or shoot on the range, or, you know, we'll help you in the pro shop as well. You can also listen to us on Rapid Fire. We air on WRKO, WCRN, and WXTK on the weekends. And wherever you get your podcast, it's Rapid Fire, all one word. So we're happy to help out in the 2A community whenever we can and wherever we are. So I'm happy to be here for you, Grace, and look forward to doing it again.
All right. Thank you very much, Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Make sure you guys check it out. It's a great, great facility. When we return, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. What a fun show we've had. Now, here's an interesting way to end the show. The CDC has finally decided to come clean. They have finally decided to tell us what we knew all along, what Lena Wen from CNN had told us from the start, which is that cloth masks do nothing. They do nothing. CDC finally admits cloth masks were always political theater. I actually reached out to the woman who wrote this. She wasn't available to come on today, but it is interesting to hear that yet the same CDC quietly admitted on Friday that the thin cloth masks the agency and its corporate media allies spent the last 2 years cheering actually provide the least protection against COVID-19. The latest reversal is in a long line of flip-flops, because the CDC is really turning into Simon Says. The CDC says this. The CDC says that. The CDC says jump on one foot. We also can't afford to be fooled into the coming narrative that everyone from kindergartners to marching bands must now strap on a medical-grade N95 mask. So this is the change. It's not that, oh, we lied about the masks for 2 years. They don't really work that much. They don't really mitigate COVID. Take them off. Go back to normal life. We apologize. That would, in a sane world, that would be the reaction. No. The caveat is, yes, we made a mistake. The cloth masks don't work that well. They're nothing more than facial decorations. So try to find your three-year-old an N95 mask that he or she can wear all day long.
I know. I'm sure that the child-size N95 mask will be mailed out from the government with the regular masks, right? That everybody's getting a mask in every house and a chicken on every table.
Well, and of course, it's true that the N95s offer more protection than a cloth mask. But as this writer, L. Reynolds, points out, yes, N95s are more effective than cloth masks. And we've been saying that from the beginning. Hazmat suits are more effective, too. But that doesn't mean we should all walk around the grocery store like we're in a post-apocalyptic world of toxic fumes.
Well, that's for the next variant.
Nor does it mean we should let the COVID bureaucrats get away with mandating N95s, considering every other COVID mandate handed down for the past 2 years has proven, here's the key word, listen up, ineffective. Extended state-mandated lockdowns did more harm than good. Mandated vaccine did not prevent transmission of the infection. And the CDC just admitted that many of those masks they forced people to wear were more or less pointless. So why do we continue? If someone came into my house and said, I'm going to mandate everything you do for the next 2 years, and your life's going to be so much better. I'll be your accountability coach. Your life's about to improve. And then 2 years later, nothing had changed. And in fact, my life was significantly worse. I would say, excuse me, can you leave now? And don't let the door hit you with a good look. Well, you know what I would say. You know the rest. Get out.
Keep drinking those milkshakes. That's the only way to lose weight.
Enough is enough. And no, we're not going to start putting KN95s on five-year-olds. I mean, I know Jen Psaki would love that. I know her kid doesn't mind. But for the rest of parents, they've officially had enough. All right. Had a lot of fun today. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. And in the meantime, you get to enjoy Howard Lawrence Carr. He's coming up next.